Amen. Galatians 5, we're going to begin at the first verse. I'm reading a lot of scripture today, the first 18 verses, but amen, it's imperative. I just felt, amen, to do so. God is so amazing to me, you know, how he'll line things up and bring things in alignment when you don't even, you know, you have no idea what he's doing. Amen. If you're able to stand today, we would ask you to please stand. If you're not able, we understand. But if you're able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We thank everybody for being here. We love you today. Amen. We love you tremendously. Appreciate you, amen, for being here. Truly do. Amen. Praise God. His presence. Hallelujah. Sissy, can I just tell you right there? The Lord brought your face before me this morning, and I don't know anything that's been, was and is to come, but I just want you to know that the Lord's hand is upon your life. I feel to tell you that this morning, amen, and he brought your face to me today. Good to see. I looked up and saw it. I thank the Lord, amen. Praise God, and I want you to know his hand is upon your life. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 1. Real familiar scriptures here, but how many wants to go where God says go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen, amen. All right, everybody got Galatians 5, 1, say amen.
Amen.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Right.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to that to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. They're going to blast the shofar. I need you to go on and shout of praise for his word.
Hallelujah.
On this thought, simply, how ripe is your spirit? How ripe is your spirit? Look at your neighbor, pose that question, whether it be the left or right. Amen. Praise God. But hallelujah. How ripe is your spirit? Amen. Praise God. We're getting ready to begin on Thursday a Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And we hear a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, and rightfully so. The gifts of the Spirit are important. And let me say this, they have not ceased. They are still in operation and much needed in the body of Christ. So there has been no ceasing of the gifts of the Spirit. But we hear a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. Amen. But we also see a lot of talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but we don't get a lot of teaching about the fruit of the Spirit. And actually, the fruit of the Spirit is often used as a weapon against another person. Amen. It's often used as a weapon to try to attack or to assault someone's character or someone's life or something that, amen, that we may not agree with or something that we see. It's often used as a weapon. And but I don't want to use it as a weapon this morning. Amen. I want to try to help us. Amen. We might do a little teaching today. Amen. I don't know. I struggle with that. Amen. Because when I begin to get in the Word and begin to feel the presence of the Lord and I live what I preach, I do my best to live what I preach. Amen. And so what I bring to you, by the time it gets to you, it's already whipped me up one side down the other, convicted me. Amen. Moved in my spirit. Amen. And any repentance that needs to be done, I've already done it. Amen. Praise God. I'm sincere in that. Hallelujah. But both are essential. The gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are essential, but one without the other brings confusion. Let me say that again. One without the other brings confusion. The gifts of the Spirit, while they are essential and they are important and they are something that we need to see and we should see in operation in the body of Christ when we gather together in the local assembly, amen, and I believe that we do that here. We see the gifts of the Spirit, amen, in operation, but the gifts of the Spirit without the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit is nothing but noise. I'm going to say that again. I told you we're going to do a little teaching today. Look at your neighbor and ask him again, how ripe is your spirit? Now, I'm not going to use the fruit of the Spirit as a weapon today. I don't want to go that direction. Amen. So I don't believe that's the will of God. I don't believe God wants us to use it as a weapon, but I do believe that he wants us to understand, amen, the fruit of the Spirit so that we can be like Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he told us, to shake and shine, to be salt and light. But the gifts of the Spirit without evidence of the fruit of the Spirit ends up being nothing but noise. See, Paul was, amen, was not impressed. He was unimpressed with the church of Corinth, amen, and their level of spirituality because of their lack of love. Amen. Because in the church at Corinth, we see that the gifts of the Spirit were in operation. Amen. That the gift of prophecy, the gift of the of speaking in tongues, amen, the gift of interpretation, the gift of discernment, the gifts of healing. Amen. Praise God. But Paul was unimpressed with their spirituality because they lacked love. So much so that Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any of you, but if you do these things without love, you are as a sounding brass. You are sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Essentially, sounding brass is nothing but a hollow, empty sound. Amen. Sounding brass is nothing but a hollow, empty sound. And clashing cymbals, tinkling cymbals, translated as clashing cymbals, amen, is a constant noise. It is an irritating noise. Amen. The constant clashing of a cymbal. But in the Hebrew, amen, the Jews, amen, the sound of the clashing cymbal was a sound or a call to fight. Can I tell you that we are not meant to fight amongst one another? Somebody help me. And the world is not meant to see us fighting amongst one another. Because even if we are operating in all of the gifts, and we're not preaching on the gifts today, amen, but we do not have love, then it is simply doing nothing but calling a fight among the body of Christ. I need somebody to help me. And it's nothing but a empty, hollow noise. I don't want to be noise to heaven. I don't want to be noise to the lost and dying world. I want to be noise to hell. Because the noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord, causes a disruption, amen, in hell's agenda. So the only noise that I want to be, the only irritation, see, we should be what we're doing, operating and walking in love, should be like a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass to hell. We ought to be irritating hell with the level of ministry and the dimension of Christ that we are presenting to the world. Can I get somebody to say amen? Look at your neighbor again and ask the question, how ripe is your spirit? Now, Paul begins to shed some light on understanding of the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5. Amen. And he said something in chapter 4 and verse 19 that he said he felt like a mother to the Galatian believers. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So he was telling them, I feel like I'm giving birth to you over and over and over again. In other words, you are not understanding. You are not growing. You are not maturing. And so I feel like that I'm giving, like a mother giving birth to you, but I will do it until Christ be formed in you. Come on, somebody. He longed for them to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that Christ would shape their whole lives from the inside out. Can I tell you that we can be so filled with the Spirit of God that Christ can be fulfilled in all of our lives? Now, I'm not saying that we will be perfect. I'm not saying that we will perfect it. But when we are subjected to the Spirit, hallelujah, it will keep us in justified, sanctified, righteous living. Come on, somebody, help me to where God is honored and lifted up. Amen. Because he said, if I will be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Interesting, amen, that Sister Christy shared that this morning about the, amen, the lady that had been hurt by Christians, by other people. And amen, praise God, we need to be aware, hallelujah, that Christ can be formed in us. Amen, and that we're not going to be perfect because the ones that get hurt also hurt other people.
Yes.
So we all hurt and we all hurt other people. So none of us are different. It just happens in a different way. Come on, somebody, help me. Amen. But Paul longed for them to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that Christ would be, amen, would shape their whole lives from the inside out. Amen. This provokes him to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. Let me remind you, and I will probably reiterate this morning, and I'll probably say this 1,000 times by the time we get through the Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit belongs to the Holy Spirit, not you and me.
Come on.
The fruit does not belong to you and I. Nobody in here has the ability to produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Come on, somebody, help me. I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care how been serving the Lord. If you have the ability to produce that, you will not need Jesus. You will not need salvation. But aren't you glad that when Jesus stood at Mount Sinai, the Mount of Olives, as he had rose and was in his glorified body, here's my spot. You didn't know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. He stood at the base of the Mount of Olives and he said, hallelujah, I gotta leave here, but I've been praying that the Father would send you a replacement. Come on, would send you a substitute that while I'm in heaven and you're still here on earth, that you will have the power to do what I have done and commanded you to do. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Ghost was sent? Who he is. That's just who he is. Come on, Spirit in representation of Jesus Christ.
Woo! Come on.
Because the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit cannot produce fear. But power, love, and a sound mind.
Hallelujah.
And when we are not walking in fear, when we are not walking in intimidation by religiosity, religious tradition, by legalistic mindset, amen, that's fear. When we are not walking in that, we begin to release power. What kind of power? Resurrection power. That dunamis power. That same power that Jesus said, I felt it leave my body. Who touched me? Come on, somebody, do you hear me today? That's why we now can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Come on.
Not because there's any power in us to produce it, but the Holy Spirit that is in us.
Come on.
Stay with me. I'm just laying a foundation. My whole message is my last little bit. So hang tight. This provokes him to talk about the fruit. But to really understand the fruit of the Spirit, we have to look at the context and the background here. We can't just spew it out and say, oh, they don't have love, joy, peace, blah, 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 blah. So they're not of God. Well, how does somebody help them? How about somebody help them?
Come on.
To me, like, oh, come on, hallelujah. So if we're going to understand the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to look at the context. Everything is about context. I don't care what any theologian, any preacher, I don't care what any prophet, I don't care what anyone says. It's all about context. How, when, why it was written, and to whom it was written to. Come on, somebody. And the background makes a difference. So the picture of the fruit stands in a stark contrast to two other things that are less pleasant. How many likes a good apple? How many likes a good banana? I don't know what fruits you like. Peach, pear, kiwi, grapes. I don't know. I'm trying to cut them all. Oranges. Persimmons. Figs. Plums. Huh? Nectarines, prunes, shriveled up plums, prunes. Come on, I like plums. I don't like prunes. Come on, mango. So whatever you like. How many likes it good and sweet, right? Well, man, it's a pleasant thing. But the picture of the fruit stands in stark contrast to two other things that are less pleasant. Two things to be rejected by Jesus followers. We've heard a lot of talk about that today. I'm telling you, God blew. He never ceases to just amaze me. That phrase, Jesus followers, was used several times in class this morning. And then Krista gets up and spews out the scripture she did. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm like, you go on, God. Go out of my
head. Come on.
And share the testimony. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Help me. I'm trying to help us be more like Jesus. Amen. And not just talk about it, but do it.
Come on.
Do it. Come on. It's possible. So two things that should be rejected by Jesus followers are stand in stark contrast to the fruit. Now we know Paul was sent, right, to preach the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew, devout, but Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul killed Christians. We talked about this, I think, last week. Amen. Praise God. Paul had to preach to the victims' families of the people that he killed. Come on, he had to stand and give Jesus to the families of the victims of the Christians that he had killed because they believed in Jesus. So we knew Paul was sent to preach the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. And the people in Galatia have responded to that. Glory to God. Like, yeah, we believe that. We want to get a hold of that. Thank you, Jesus, right? They had responded to Paul's message. Now, these weren't Jews who knew anything of the Old Testament. So, as of that point, their Bible was the Old Testament, specifically the Torah. Amen. That was specifically, amen, the book of the law. The law. That was specifically their Bible. So these were people now, they weren't Jews, amen, that Paul was preaching to. And these Jews in these people in Galatia weren't Jews, and they didn't know anything of the Old Testament. So Paul taught them of Abraham's promise, and by putting their faith in Jesus, they would become God's people. Paul told them that God has grafted you in. God has accepted you. And if you put your faith in a man, Jesus, and then you will become God's people. Not by becoming Jews. Now say with me. Neither culturally or proselyte conversion, but by covenant. Paul wasn't saying that you had to become Jews by converting to Judaism, or being a man living according to the laws that the Jews followed, or following their culture, or following their religious traditions. He said, not by that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, and see what Paul said. He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a child of Abraham. If you have believed in Jesus and you put your faith in him, you are a child of Abraham. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen, that's you and I, through faith. Actually, the heathen is anyone who wasn't a natural born Jew. Amen? That God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's a mouthful right there. Amen. That is a blessing. Amen. Praise God. He said, it is not about your cultural conversion or about the proselyte conversion, but it is by covenant. That's why Paul said there's neither Jew nor Greek. Come on, somebody. Bond or free or male or female in the sight of God. But everybody are a man is an heir of Abraham. All, no matter whether you're Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, you are an heir of Abraham. I'm so glad that God included this heathen in his glorious covenant. I wasn't natural born into the covenant of God, but by the blood of Jesus, I've been grafted in. Hallelujah. And now every promise made unto Abraham belongs to me. I can't speak for you, but it belongs to me. This is why I get so excited. This is why I get back up when I fall. This is why when it gets almost impossible to keep going, I pick myself up and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen me and take hold, because I have been grafted in to a covenant, and the end of this thing is eternal life.
Hallelujah.
With the Father.
Yes.
My goodness. But these Jews were like Paul. See, there were Jews like Paul, but they came to them in Galatia with a different message. The same kind of Jews as Paul was. They came to Galatia now after Paul was preaching to them. You are an heir of Abraham, right? And if you believe, it's not about whether you convert and you culturally follow all the customs, traditions, and laws, or if you are a man proselyte, have a proselyte conversion, that means that the males would be circumcised. Amen. Praise God. And they would follow the Sabbath laws, amen, and the ritual food laws. That's the basis of proselyte conversion. Paul said, amen, told them that that wasn't so. But now here comes Jews that were just like Paul with a different message for them. Beware. You better know. If anybody's speaking over your life, is speaking truth. Remember, the gifts without fruit bring confusion. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So they were telling them that faith in Jesus wasn't enough. They were telling the people in Galatia now, these Gentiles, that they must become Jewish proselytes. They needed to be circumcised and they needed to observe the law of Moses, especially the Sabbath and the eating ritual of clean food. Because if you're circumcised and you follow the Torah, then that makes you a true Jew. So now here they are, they got saved. They are converted. They knew nothing about the Old Testament. Paul's coming now to preach to them. Now here comes Jesus, just like Paul, telling them, it's not enough. But Paul reacts really strongly to this. Paul responds to this really strongly. Because you see, he said to them, look, the law of Moses had its proper function for Israel. But when the Messiah came, he made a way open for all people. He said the law had its place for Israel, but when Jesus came, which was the Word made flesh, which was the law fulfilled, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with it, I came to make it possible. He said, I didn't come to do away with all of it. There's some of it that is not pertinent. There's some of it that was to set, amen, hygiene and all of those things. He said, I didn't come to do away with all of it. I just come to make what you couldn't do possible.
Come on,
somebody. Hallelujah. Because the sign of a true Jesus follower is a keeper of his word. Is someone who is obedient to his word.
Come
on. Come on. So Paul said, look, when the Messiah came, he made a way open for all people. He freed them from the obligation to live under the burden of the law. Look at your neighbor and say, you're free.
You're free.
You're free.
You're free.
Some of you in your mind are not there yet. You lift your hands in the sanctuary. You feel the presence of the Lord. And you say yes and amen. And you want the fullness. But in your mind, you're not free. Well, come on, somebody, help me. I'm going to try to help you today. I don't want to beat you with this. I want to break chains with it. I want to see fetters. Come on, somebody. I didn't come to beat somebody up today. I come to break chains and loose fetters, not in my power, but with the power and the freedom of the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's the Word that'll make you free.
Yeah.
And whom the Son has made free is as free as they can be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you're free from the obligation to live under the law. You now live in freedom and walk in the Spirit. He said, you now live in freedom and you walk in the Spirit. But see, they were like, wait a minute, Paul. Won't that lead to a moral license to sin? That's what they were saying. They were saying, if you do not convert and you do not live by the laws of the Torah, it will give you permission, a license to sin. And they said, will they not fall back into pagan immorality? They're just going to go right back into it. No, Paul said.
Come on.
Come on.
No, Paul said. Paul said, what you're doing is you're causing unnecessary false division between these two extremes. There were two extremes now being presented. Hallelujah. And Paul said, you're causing division that is not even supposed to be there. It is a false division between these two extremes. It's the extreme of legalism and license.
Come on, preach it.
And Paul said there is no in-between to that. And you are now presenting a false division. You are now telling these born-again people, these people who have accepted Jesus Christ, these people who have been set free from the bondage of sin, you're now telling them they have to choose sides. Come on. You're now telling them that there is a false submission there. Paul said the Old Testament itself wasn't legalism.
Come on.
But it was founded in God's grace given to his people after their redemption from Egypt. It was founded in grace. We're talking about that in our class, in our adult class, about them coming out of Egypt and God giving, amen, bringing deliverance, amen, and getting ready, praise God, to bring them out. Hallelujah. And then Paul said, look, the Old Testament law itself is not legalism. It is founded on the grace of God. God gave it to make them aware that they were sinners because he loved them too much to let the sin not kill them. Grace, because the rules will kill you. The rules will send you. They will give you a death sentence of eternal damnation. But grace says you're not under the heaviness of that. Jesus came and was the law fulfilled. And now because he is and he lives, you can be justified. As elementary as possible, because I want you to get it. But Paul said, listen, that law could be easily distorted in the legalistic way of thinking, because that's what they did.
Yeah.
Some of you have legalistic thinking in here today. You are saved. Come on, some of you have been raised around church. Some of you have been saved. You've been in, out, in, out, in, out. I told you I got saved 50 times before I got free. I knelt at the altar the first time in sincerity when I was 15, but it was 30 when I got free. I got my dance. I got my shout. Hallelujah, when I was 30. When I got free. Why? Because now I know why I'm shouting. Now I understand how I can dance. Tell somebody, do you hear me? Now that's why I get so emotional about this covenant. Come on. Paul said the law could be easily distorted in the legalist way of thinking. Because observing the Torah, keeping rules and regulations, they saw as proof of ethnic and covenantal identity. Are you with me? So they saw it that if you're keeping the rules and you're following the regulations, that's proof that even though you weren't born a Jew, see, they didn't have a problem with them coming into covenant. They just felt like they weren't doing it the right way. Aren't you glad you are not subject to man's laws and thinking? I've said it before, I'll say it again. If it were up to man, I'm talking about men in the church, I wouldn't be preaching today. That's the truth. I wouldn't be allowed to preach, let alone pastor. So keeping the rules and regulations they felt like was proof of their ethnic and their covenantal identity. It was a badge of righteousness. The men with their zit. Come on. And all of the identifying. Now, I'm not sculpting that. I'm not belittling it, and I'm not making fun of it, and I'm not making light of it. I'm telling you that they felt like this identified them as Jesus followers.
Yeah.
Come on. It was a badge of righteousness. That's why the Pharisees stood on the street corner and prayed out loud so that everybody could hear them. And when they were fasting, they were like, they were in mourning and sackcloth and ashes, so they wanted everybody to know that they were denying the flesh because that was their badge of righteousness. They were living under the law. They were legalistic. But I want you to understand that the answer is not the opposite extreme. The answer to that is not do as you please and indulge in every desire.
Come on.
Because we know
can't do that. No.
That's not God's way. And anyone that lives that way is living in deception. And they are under the law. It's so funny that people that live like that and call that their freedom in grace, that they can do what they want and indulge in the flesh because grace is there. It's funny that they think those of us who believe in living in obedience to the word and walking in righteousness and holiness, they think we are legalistic, when I'm like, listen, son, it's you that is legalistic. You are living under bondage. Because now you are subject to the punishment of the law.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. So Paul, we got to understand that both are wrong. Legalism is keeping all the rules. If you keep the rules, if you wear this and wear that and have your hair a certain way, this and have that, and don't do this and don't wear that, and don't go there and don't go here, and don't do this and don't do that. Keeping all the rules makes you a Jesus follower. Right? That's your badge. Come on. And it produces a spirit of arrogance. It produces a spirit of pride. I've walked into rooms full of people who live their lives in that way, and they can make you feel dirty and less without saying a word. Come on, somebody. Because it's a bondage. It's a spirit. I don't care what anybody has to say. Come on, do you hear me? The word says it. So legalism is keeping all the rules. Amen. License is rejecting any rules. Grace is there. God loves you too much so that you be destroyed. You're right. That's why he sent Jesus and said, if you walk in holiness, you'll escape damnation and hell. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Both are wrong. See, legalistic mindset means that you follow the rules to prove you're a Christian. That license rejects the rules. They reject traditions. They believe that Jesus has set us free from institutionalized religious burden. And he loves you as you are. And there's no place for any concepts of discipline or obedience. Now, he does love you just as you are. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. He had you in mind before you had a mind. Before we had a mind to sin, he had us in mind. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Amen. So now here the swinging between law enforcers and the rule breakers. They're swinging back and forth, amen, between the law enforcers and the rule breakers. But listen to me. I'm trying to get there. Paul shows a better way. Amen. Paul says, by the Spirit that is given to us through Christ, this is how you are to live and fulfill the Word of God. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, avoid basing righteousness on the law. Let's look at verse 1, way back at the beginning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What was the yoke of bondage? The law. Paul said to them, listen, hallelujah, amen. He said, you have got to quit following and basing your righteousness on the law. Paul said, yes, the gospel of Christ has set us free. Amen. The gospel of Christ has set us free, but Paul said you've got to avoid basing your righteousness on the law. He said by trusting in the Messiah, trusting in Jesus, it don't matter if you're circumcised or not. Because whether you're circumcised or whether you're uncircumcised, it's not going to make the difference. Hallelujah, because that's not what makes you righteous. That's the law that was once enough, but Jesus came to where we did not have, amen, to fulfill that in our own way, but now he justified us right in the midst of our sin and our disease, amen, and he made us righteous through
Hallelujah.
He said, if you trust in Jesus, you trust in the Messiah, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. What matters is that your faith is real.
Amen.
Come on.
That your faith is not in the law, but your faith is in the work of Jesus.
Yes. Woo. Hallelujah.
Your faith is not in whether everybody's circumcised and everybody's following the Shabbat laws and everybody's not eating this and not eating that and following all the rules of clean eating. That's not what makes you holy. That just makes you,
come on,
under bondage. But what matters is your faith in what I have preached to you. Is it real? Do you really believe? How do you know they believe? Paul helped them out on that too. He said, you'll prove it with your love.
Come on.
That's the proof that's in the pudding. Let's look at verse 6. Come on, somebody. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You do what you do because of love. Why? Because of the love you have for God. And if you love God, then you will love people. And if you love people, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. Because this is the basis of all the law.
Come on.
Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Somebody help me. I'm trying to help us today. I'm trying to help us to get closer and to get free. He said, free is not freedom to indulge in the flesh. He said, free is not freedom that you can indulge in the flesh. Let's look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. Look at your neighbor and say, you are supposed to be free. If you get that, if you just get a hold of that, that when the enemy comes at you and this legalistic thinking and this mindset of lies that you're supposed to be free, he's called everybody in this place to be free. There's nobody exempt in this house from freedom through Jesus Christ. And if you'll just understand that you're supposed to be free, hallelujah, and if you're not free yet, keep pressing, keep pursuing, because his will is that you walk in freedom. How do you walk in freedom? Come on, somebody. By the Spirit. How do you stay free? By the Spirit. How do you walk in love? By the Spirit. How do you have the fruit? By the Spirit.
Woo, come on.
Are you with me? Only don't use that liberty as an excuse to sin.
Right.
Do not use it as an occasion to the flesh, but by love, not through love, not in love, but by love.
Come on.
We'll preach on that later, maybe on Thursday, and we'll talk about love with the Holy Spirit. Serve one another.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Come on. You said, what is the flesh? The flesh is not just this.
Right.
Our bodies, that is the flesh. But the flesh is also our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our desires, our feelings, etc., 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 and anything that falls under all of those categories.
Right.
Freedom is not based on whether or not you feel free.
Come on.
Freedom is not based on whether you think you're free.
Come on.
Freedom is not based on whether you feel like you are doing enough. Freedom is based on the love that God shed in his heart for you. And now the proof that you put your faith in the truth of the Messiah is going to be love.
Come on.
Notice that love is at the end of verse 6. Go back there real quick. And then when you go to 6, jump back to 13. Love is at the end of verse 6. Now go back to verse 13. Love is at the end of verse 13. Love is at the end of both of those verses. Now look at verse 14. For all the law.
Come on.
All of it. Anybody not understand that what the English meaning of the word all is?
All
I'm legit being serious. If you don't tap your neighbor, I'll give you 30 seconds to define what all means to someone that doesn't know. I don't want anybody to leave here and let the enemy let them have an excuse if they don't understand how they can be free. They don't understand why the fruit of the Spirit is not walking and working in their life. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. All in one. All in one. All in one. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the word in which all the law is fulfilled. Why do you think the enemy specializes in division? Why do you think those Jews came and the enemy used them to make, hallelujah, those Gentiles that were set free, those Christians trying to believe that there was a false division between legalism and license, when Paul said all of that has been done away with?
Woo! Come on.
Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? That's why we've got denominations. They're man-made. They're not God-ordained.
Come on.
God did not ordain denominations.
Come on. Right.
They separate.
Come on.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That's good preaching.
Thank you, thank you. So love is the answer to both legalism and license. What? Love's the answer to both of them.
Right.
Love is the answer to legalism and license. So to the law enforcers, I want you to hear me. Write this down if you need to. Matter of fact, I encourage you to. You need to study. Come on. Hallelujah. To the law enforcers, what matters is faith expressing itself through love. So to you law enforcers, to you legalistic people, what matters is your faith expressing itself through love. Love enables us to fulfill God's law properly without legalism.
Amen.
We'll get that next Sunday. I said love enables us to fulfill God's law properly without legalism. Now to the, that was to the law enforcers. Now to the rule rejectors. Make sure we serve one another humbly in love.
Amen.
Come on. Love enables us to use our freedom properly without selfishness. I said love enables us to use our freedom properly without selfishness. To say that you can do whatever you want to because of freedom is selfish. It's selfish. It's following the flesh. So on one hand, everybody say on one hand, love for one another is the right way to respond obediently and faithfully to God's law. Because the entire law is fulfilled. Love your neighbor as yourself. So on one hand, love for one another is the right way to respond obediently and faithfully to God's law. Not based on whether they love you back, not based on whether they like you, not based on whether they want you, not based on whether they listen to you, not based on whether you think that they're less than you or you're better than them, not based on whether they respond to you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's not based on any of that. On the other hand, love will prevent us from using our freedom for selfish indulgence. Love for one another is the right way to respond obediently and faithfully to God's law, which has not been taken away. It's just been fulfilled. Come on, somebody. And on the other hand, though, love will prevent us from using our freedom for selfish indulgence. See, Christian freedom releases us from one kind of slavery, and that slavery was submitting to the law. That is what true Christian freedom releases us from. Are you with me? Because he says, don't be entangled again in bondage. Don't be a slave to all the rules and regulations. But love puts us in a different kind of slavery for Christ's sake. Submitting to one another by serving one another humbly in love. Are you with me? So now I'm not a slave to the law, but I'm a slave to Jesus. I'm a slave to love. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? It's just that simple. You can't put it in any more, amen, simpler hillbilly terms. Is I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to the bondage of feeling like that if I don't fulfill the law and I don't fast 3 times a week and I don't do this and I don't go to church and I don't righteous. That takes us, love takes us out of that slavery. Amen. But it puts us under bondage to love. That means we serve one another humbly in love, and we don't use our freedom to serve our own self. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Love is first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. It's first. That's where we're going to go Thursday night. So if you want to know about love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, show up. Come on. Seriously, I'm not being serious. Because that's what we're going to do. I'm trying to get you there. So love is the first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. But here's Paul's warning. Everybody say there's a warning. He said, law enforcers and the rule rejectors. So the legalists and the licensed, the law enforcers and the rule rejectors, they can be horrible to each other.
Yeah.
You see what Satan did?
Yeah.
He was pitting them against one another. He was making a division in the church. He was setting up denominations.
Come on. Okay.
But if you don't dress like us, look like us, act like us, shout like us, perform like us, yada, 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 then you're not one of us, and we are the us.
Come on.
We are God's us. That's cultish thinking. It's just plain and simple. Bottom line. But then you got them over here. Oh, come here. Come as you are. You can do whatever you want to as long as you show up. And, oh, yeah, free love. You can sin. You can commit adultery. You can have fornication. You can get drunk out of yourself. You can whatever satisfies your flesh. Grace covers it all. Am I not telling you the truth?
Yes, you are.
And then everything in between that.
Yeah.
So we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of divisions. There's 15 kinds of Church of Gods. There's 12 kinds of Baptists. Come on, there's 4 kinds of Methodists. There's 6 kinds of Lutheran. There's 4 kinds of Catholic. Amen. There's 25 kinds of Pentecostal. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Do you not see what the enemy has done? Amen. I'm not saying that everybody in those, any of those, I'm not judging them, amen, but I'll tell you what you can do. Know them by the fruit.
Come on, woo, come on.
Hallelujah. Know them by the fruit. That's your gauge. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad he made it, took it out of your hands? Aren't you glad he took it out of your responsibility? He said they can be horrible with each other, with their attitudes and their words. And can I say, words spoken, and in this culture, words written. Everybody screams their thumbs off in this generation.
Come on. Come on.
When 95% of them wouldn't have the chutzpah to stand in your face and say anything that they write to you on your Facebook and your social media. Now, some of them will because they filled with the devil.
Come on.
The 5% that will need deliverance. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not saying that 95% don't need deliverance either, but I'm just telling you, amen, praise God. Come on, you understand it. You understand it, praise God. That's why those of us amen, that type out and let our thumbs scream, amen, that are trying to live by the Spirit says, what are you doing?
Then you delete it.
Shut your mouth. Shut your thumbs.
Separate yourself.
Okay, Holy Ghost. He takes your hand. Puts it on that one button. Backspace. You watch it all disappear. And eventually you get to the point to where you just let it stay in your head and you don't even take the time to type it.
Yeah.
Do you realize what kind of energy and emotions and time you have wasted? Amen. To just type it out. Come on, somebody. But when it comes in our mind, the Holy Spirit gives us power to cast it down.
Yeah.
And to not allow, come on, somebody, help me. We're all guilty. I'm not trying to act like I ain't ever done it. I've had to repent. I've hit sin, hit enter, and thank all Jesus. It's on now. Come on, somebody. You have to rectify. And amen. Praise God. Because nowadays it gets there lickety split. And somebody going to read it in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Come on. He said, let's look at verse 15. He said, here is a warning, you law enforcers and rule rejectors. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In other words, God says, don't let you just destroy each other. God ain't going to have no part in that. He don't want anything to do with that. He said, your attitude. So what's the big point? What's the big point out of all of that? If we're not governed by the law or by the flesh, then what are we governed by? That's the big question, right? That's all of those religious Jews out there. Well, if we're not governed by the law, Paul, and we can't just grace doesn't allow us to do whatever we want, then what is it that we have to be ruled by? What is it that we're governed by? Paul said, I'm glad you asked. And here's his answer in verses 16 through 18. Put it back up there, please. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Come on.
I want to say something so bad. Now just let me say it. I want to say something so bad. But the Spirit is lusting against your flesh. It's warring, saying it's not worth it. It's not your battle. It's not against you, but it's, come on, somebody, do you hear me? You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You want to fight that devil, get on your face before the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Get in a place, begin to pray in tongues, and watch every demon disseminate. And oh, somebody help me in this place.
Come on.
I told you, I've done repented, and it's all done been through me. Because if you be led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. That means whatever you do in your freedom, ain't a man or a devil has the right to tell you you can't do it. Come on, somebody. Do you understand that? Then there ain't no denominational bylaws that you are subject to. Ooh, Jesus. You say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You're saying no to the flesh and the burden of the law to prove righteousness. It's that simple. You say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You're now saying no to the law and the burden of the law and the flesh to prove that you're righteous. To find out what that means, Paul points out the opposite. Now I'm coming to the peak. We're getting ready to go down. We're getting ready to bring it down. It's my first time. I got 6 more, but I promise I won't use them. Because I'm getting there. I've said all of that to bring us to this. Look at your neighbor and say, how ripe is your spirit? Ask them that question. How ripe is your spirit? Paul said to find out what that means. To find out what Paul meant. He points out the opposite. He points out what the acts of the flesh lead to. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And he's told them that how they need to deny the flesh and say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. But now he's telling them what the acts of the flesh lead to. Let's look at Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. We stopped at 18, but we've got to go through. We're going to read 19 through 21 right now. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty heavy, right?
Yeah.
Paul covers the individual, he covers social, and he covers cultural. All three of those areas he covered in that list. So from private to public, from the outward acts to the inward emotions, Paul covered them all. Yeah. So in private, in public, what you see, your outward actions and your inward emotions and your thoughts. Because let's not forget that men, we can commit adultery in our hearts by looking upon a woman and lusting. Now that doesn't mean that women can get by with looking at men and lusting. It's the same concept. Just don't throw that in there. Then he describes the life of the Spirit. Come on now. Now we're getting to the good stuff. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law that forbids any of this. Now, here's what you got to understand, and this is where I think we get our mindset, our thinking messed up, and it's distorted. This isn't a list of virtues matching the list of vices. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, if you do this and don't do that, are you with me? This is not a list of virtues matching the vices. See, it was common among Greeks and even Jews to list vices and virtues to shape behavior. A vice is what you don't do, and a virtue is what you do. But this was not a list of do's and don'ts that Paul was presenting here. And I think that's where we get our thinking, or the enemy uses that and gets our thinking. And that's when we see someone else operating in one of the vices. Then we use the virtue as a weapon to say, you should be doing that. You should be doing this. And if you don't do this, then God's going to beat you up and you're going to get punished. Am I talking right? That's what we do. That's why that young woman stood in here yesterday crying and was hurt by church people, because that's what was presented to her. Are you hearing me? So Paul wasn't giving us a list of do's and don'ts. He wasn't giving us that list of vices and virtues to try to shape their behavior. Paul isn't saying don't try to obey the rules of the Old Testament law. Here is a much easier set. Did you do that? Paul wasn't saying, now don't try to obey the laws in the Old Testament, because here is a much easier set of laws to follow. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Come on. Because when you think of it like that, you're the one that tries to produce love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness. And then when they don't show up, and the opposite shows up, which is the flesh, then the devil beats you up and tells you how wretched you are, how sinful you are, how unholy you are, how you do not have a right, and how immature you are. Come on, somebody. Am I telling the truth? If I'm not, I'll close it and sit down right now. Come on, I'm telling you the truth, because I've been there. Now here's what I want you to get. How ripe is your spirit? one more time, maybe one more. Look at your neighbor and ask that question. How am I righteous here? By this time, Maria's about to deck me. But she said, I do. So she has to. Come on. Here's what I'm trying to say. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now let's talk about this. I want you to hear me. Fruit is a natural product of life. Correct?
Yeah.
Fruit is a natural product of life. If a tree is alive, it will bear fruit.
I'm gonna give you
about 30 seconds to process that. If a tree is alive, it will bear fruit. I'm trying to help us here. I'm trying to set up for our fruit of the Spirit teaching. If a tree is alive, it will bear fruit. It's the nature of a living tree. Are you with me? It is the nature of a tree that is alive to produce fruit. If a tree is not alive, it will not what? Produce fruit. So it's the nature of a living tree. Fruit is what you get when a tree has life within it. Fruit is what you get from the tree when the tree has life in it. If the tree is dead, you don't get fruit from it. Oh, come on, somebody. So fruit is what you get when the tree has life within it. Why does a tree bear fruit? Not because there's some law of nature that says it must. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you understand what Paul is saying here. The tree does not bear fruit because there's some law of nature that says you must bear fruit or I will kill you. Are you with me? You must bear fruit or I will destroy you. There is no law of nature that says it must. But simply because of the life that is within the tree, what is rising up from the soil and the water that feeds it at its roots, hallelujah, puts the life in the tree, and then the tree doesn't even have to think about producing fruit. Because there's life in the tree, there will be fruit produced. Somebody help me. But what matters is what's in the root. That's all. Somebody help me. I'm trying not to shout here. This is where I want to teach you. This is where I need you to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. It's simply because of the life within it. Fruit doesn't bear fruit by keeping the laws of nature. Hear me, a tree does not bear fruit by keeping the law of nature, but simply because it is a living tree being and doing what a tree does when it's alive. Some of you are making the connection. I can see the sparks in the Spirit. You're like, so it's what makes a tree alive that produces the fruit. It's not a law of nature. It's not anything that the tree does or doesn't do that causes it to produce fruit. It matters whether there's life in it. And if the tree is alive, a tree just produces fruit. It does not, oh, somebody help me. It does not have to be coaxed. It does not have to be tended to in a specific way. Somebody better help me. But what's coming up from the soil and the water that's feeding it at its roots produces the life in it, and then fruit is going to automatically show up. Are you getting that?
Yes.
Now we're talking. Now, if you don't get it, you, the tree, and the Holy Spirit is the life in the tree. And the fruit that you produce when you are alive, not by any law of nature, not by any law that you fulfill, but if your tree is alive, it will automatically bear love, joy, peace. Come on, somebody. Long-suffering, generous, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. still alive. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't matter if somebody comes and beats, amen, the trunk of that tree, amen, because they're angry or because they don't like the fruit that the tree produces. It doesn't change the fact that what it's getting at its roots is what's keeping it alive. And because it's alive, no matter who beats up on it, no matter who don't like the fruit, it's still going to produce fruit because it is alive. Are you with me? How ripe is your spirit? How ripe is your tree? How ripe is the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you letting that life from the Holy Spirit be the life within you? Come on, somebody. Or are you trying to live by some law of nature and produce the fruit that you think you ought to produce? So the fruit of the Holy Spirit are the qualities of God Himself. Everything, all the fruit of the Spirit is a description of God Himself. And the Holy Spirit is His breath. It's His life. Jesus is that living water. So if what's feeding us at our roots and in our soil is the Word, is the truth, amen, is, amen, all of the things that the Word says, then it's going to do what? It's going to bring life into the tree. And if the tree is alive, it doesn't even think about having to produce fruit. It just automatically does it because it's alive. That's what trees do. And that's what Christians ought to do. If they're alive, if they're walking in the Spirit, and they're led by the Spirit, they ought to be producing fruit because they're alive. You shouldn't even have to think about it. Help me, Jesus. Get it. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit are the qualities of God Himself that He will produce in us because the life of God is at work in us. He will produce the qualities of God Himself because the life of God is at work in us. The Spirit will bear fruit in the tree of a person's life. As they grow and become more like Christ, and the tree or their life is alive in the Spirit, then they will automatically bear fruit. They will not have to fulfill any law of nature, any law of God. Now, if they fulfill the laws of the flesh, what's it going to do? It's not going to produce fruit. So Paul's not saying if you don't do this, see, if you don't commit adultery and fornication, because see, that's the legalism, and if you don't do all these, then you should have love, joy, peace. No. Because if you're not yielding and submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit and letting Him live in you, you ain't going to produce that fruit. And now what's happening? The devil's got you right smack in between legalism and license. That false division that they presented that was a real thing is not real. It's not meant to be. Get out of that mess. Get out of in between that stuff. And get in the grace of God and the freedom that is given to us by love. I want to get ready to come with the music. I told you I wasn't going to use 6-1. I told you I'm going to use the fruit as a weapon to beat you up and make you feel how horrible you are because you don't bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord is accessible to every person in this building. Let us, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find that grace to help us in our time of need. The Holy Spirit is accessible to everyone in this place. Paul was simply, he wasn't giving them a list of vices and virtues. He wasn't saying, if you don't do this, and you do this. And so now I'm like, well, how do I, because you know, I'm telling you, there's some of you in here that have been trying to produce fruit through your own efforts. You're trying to do it by the law, and it won't work because it's not God's will. There's no law that allows that to happen. But when you walk in the freedom of the Spirit and the fruit comes in your tree, then there isn't a law that can forbid it from manifesting. So it all matters on how ripe is your spirit. How much are you obediently yielding to the Spirit to allow your life to be alive? Because if a tree is alive, it will produce fruit. Doesn't produce that fruit because there's some law of nature that says it must. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it died and the fruit died with it. Come on, somebody. So what the enemy wants to do is he wants to pit us against one another. He wants to get us to bite and devour one another and argue with our attitudes and our words between legalism and license. When Paul said, all of it is fulfilled by one word, love. When I can't love, the Holy Spirit in me produces love. Are you hearing me? Because look. It's just plain and simple. Let's just be transparent and real. There's some folk that are just not easy to love. Come on. I'm convinced that some people make it their mission to be unlovable.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're so miserable that they make it their mission to be unlovable. And the times when we want to say, nope, you know what? Can't do it anymore. That's when the Holy Spirit automatically produces that love. Loving them as God loves them. And that doesn't mean that you cater to them. Does it mean that you provide them a way to continue in their sin? Does it mean that you are obligated to do all of these things? Come on, somebody. You know how many knocks I get at this door? That tell me that because we're a church that we should just do and accept anything and everything with no questions asked.
No, not true.
That's not how it works. And you know why they think that? Because somebody has not taught them the truth.
Amen.
About walking in the Spirit.
Right.
No. I'll feed you if you're hungry.
Right.
But I have not given you $5 to go kill yourself.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
Amen.
Not doing it. And if the Holy Spirit tells me not to, I'm not gonna put gas in your car so you can go kill somebody else.
Right. Amen.
You want it? You let someone else be responsible for that. Because the Holy Spirit has said, mm-mm.
Right.
Don't do it. You know how many times I've been cussed out at that door? How many times I've been called a hypocrite and a liar and a false teacher? And you're supposed to be some pastor. No, I'm not supposed to be some pastor. I'm just a child of God.
Amen.
Come on. Are you with me? So understanding. That's why we want to teach on the fruit of the Spirit. Teach on these characteristics of God. Because you can love somebody to hell.
Come on.
But you can also love them the way God does and lead them to freedom and eternal life. And there's a difference.
Yes, there is.
I don't want to get off on that. But I'm just telling you that all of the other, it's not fruits. Because we can't pick one and leave another.
Come on.
God's not one thing and not the rest.
Come on.
Come on.
He's all encompassed. He's the I Am. That's all his characteristics. And Jesus said that he left the Holy Spirit so that we could be like him. That doesn't mean that you're going to get it perfected and you're not going to mess up and you're not going to override the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Jesus. It'd be nice if it would be like that, wouldn't it? But it's not. You're going to mess up. You're going to fail at it. But thank God. See, that's when you stay inside the protection of grace. You know you don't have to spend 5 days feeling bad and guilty. You know right then, man, mess that up. Father, forgive me. Jesus, cleanse me. I plead the blood. Turn around. Move on like it never happened. That's freedom.
Come on.
That's freedom. That's freedom. And there's no law against it. So if you stay with me across this place this morning, I hope that you've grasped the concept of what God has given me. I'm telling you, there's no coincidence in all the things that were said in class and Sister Christine and the scriptures that she gave and the story she shared. There's no coincidences. That was God's little love tap to me. Yeah. Yeah, because we talked about thorns on Wednesday night or Thursday night. We all have thorns. And you know, so we all battle things in our mind and want to make sure. It's one of my biggest struggles is God, I want to make sure that I got the right word at the right time in the right season. Bring who you need to be here. And sometimes, even when you don't ask, he just comes along and says, I got you, son. Hear that? You're all right. Just preach it. Preach it the way that I give you to. Come on, are you hearing me? I love him for that. I love him for that. And if you're here today, first of all, if you're lost and you don't know Jesus, you're a backslider. You're our first focus. There's room at this altar for you. Today's your day to say yes to Jesus. Salvation. Please consider it. Please don't walk out of here and not give your life to Jesus. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. But if you're here today, and I know there's some that are here, if you need to leave, we understand. But if you're here today, and you battle in your mind with this legalistic, and this works, and this you doing, and you successfully producing things that make you feel like you're accepted and you're righteous, then this message is God's little tap on your shoulder saying, I got you. You don't have to struggle like this anymore. You don't have to live like that. The freedom that I brought you is not so that you can stay stuck in between all of that. So if that's you today, and you're willing and you want to release it to the Lord, just get out of your seat and come. I'm going to pray with you. Again, if you need to leave, we preach.